You've heard our open themes with listeners talking about their vocations.
Missouri dairy farmers, love issues, etc.
And what they're doing while listening to issues, etc.
This is Mark from Michigan, and I am a lawnmower listener. We love issues, etc.
We're looking for more of these elements to include in our open themes. Tell us about your vocation, hobby, or what you do while listening to Issues Etc. Call the Issues Etc. comment line 24/7 at 618-223-8382. If you make a mistake, just start over. 618-223-8382. Thanks for listening, and thanks for contributing to Issues Etc. 618-223-8382.
Completely common sense things like, gee, marriage is important and you should have guides to protect your marriage, treating it as if it's something that should not be tolerated in polite society. The media do that day in and day out.
The scientists who are so adamant that we cannot debate these things are frankly wanting us to accept their policy expertise when that's not the expertise they have. It's a science expertise.
The French revolutionaries started over with year zero. They started over with day one. They turned the Cathedral of Notre Dame into a secular place of worship.
We think, surely I'm going to sin all the time. It's almost like, well, since I know I'm going to sin, I don't even necessarily worry about it. I just kind of abandon myself over to the thought that my day is going to be filled with sin.
In about 15 minutes, we're going to play those four sound bites for you in their entirety. We'll play Issues Etc. sound bite of the week. And after we've played the four, you give us a call, send us an email, a tweet, or go to our Facebook fan page, and we will begin recording your votes for Issues Etc. sound bite of the week. That's about 15 minutes from now. Is the Democratic Party, is it going to regain religious voters? And if it's going to do so, how is it going to do so? Remember when Bernie Sanders went to Liberty University and he seemed to understand religious voters? So is that part of the way forward for them? Because if they don't, most analysts say they're going to continue to lose elections. Is it not just the party, but is it their progressive ideology? We're going to talk about progressivism and religion. Joining us to do so on this Friday afternoon, Alexandra DeSantis, William F. Buckley Fellow in Political Journalism at the National Review Institute, and author of a recent column titled Why Progressivism and Religion Don't Go Together. Alexandra, welcome to Issues Etc.
Hi, Todd. Great to be with you.
First of all, define progressivism. It's kind of a slippery term sometimes. And why is it that you say that progressivism and religion are inherently incompatible with one another?
Sure. So I guess progressivism as a whole is a very big concept. But as I talk about it in my column, I'm referring to the sort of political theory of progressivism, which came out of the, you know, around the 1920s and a number of political theorists. And it's sort of this idea that human nature is inherently malleable, or that man is able to be perfected while on earth. And therefore, the idea that because that perfection is possible, the government and society ought to be structured in a way to bring about that perfection, to shape man and change his nature into something more perfect than what we might see. And the reason I say, or I believe that's incompatible with the true understanding of religion, is that, you know, religion is founded on the idea, regardless of whether we're talking about Christianity or Islam or what have you, it's the idea that, you know, God is bigger than us, and really only God can bring about true change or perfection in the human person. Human nature can't transcend itself while on earth, and that's what eternity is for, and that's why we need God rather than the government.
You also write about the dawning realization among, if not the leadership, at least some members of the political class, the Democratic Party, that they probably should start repairing their relationship with religious voters. Tell us about that. Give us the big picture.
I mean, that's also a very big story there, but I think both in November and the more recent special elections, it's been clear that Democrats really are losing their appeal, not only to religious voters, but to a lot of Americans, and in middle America in particular. And there are a lot of reasons why that might be going on, I think. But to me, one of the biggest reasons is they've forgotten why religion is valuable to so many Americans. And they, not only do they not really understand how to talk about religion, but they oftentimes sort of write it off as kind of a something that bigots cling to when they don't have any other reason to explain their bigotry in some cases, or something that we use to justify perhaps some social programs, but we discard when it means we can't support abortion on demand, things like that. And so I think they kind of need to re-understand or train themselves in understanding why Americans care about religion and what it actually is.
Is that ultimately, given what you said before, to the degree that progressivism has become synonymous with the Democratic Party, is that an impossibility to really forge an alliance with religion or religious voters?
You know, I mean, to me, I think the only real solution would be a Democratic politician who isn't a hardcore progressive, by which I mean someone who doesn't believe that government is the solution to all problems and sees both, you know, societal cultural structures like the family as valuable and perhaps even more valuable than government, you know, family and churches, I should say. And I just, it's hard to see in the today's landscape of the Democratic Party how such a politician might be successful.
How in the world did the Democratic Party get itself into this position? Because it's within living memory, at least my living memory, I'm a little more than a half century old, where you could find very easily not only Democratic candidates who didn't believe government to be the solution to all things, they might have been religious as well.
You know, I'm not sure exactly where everything went wrong. And I think there are certainly Democratic politicians today who would identify as religious. And I'm sure many of them are faithful practitioners of whatever faith they ascribe to. But I guess where it sort of broke down, for me, in my opinion, is sort of on these social issues, and particularly in the sexual revolution. The Democratic Party, several key leaders made the choice that they were going to support things like abortion, things like birth control, things that, to me, sort of place government in the role of kind of defending these things that traditionally religious people don't. And I think because of that, Democratic politicians have felt over time as if they have to embrace these sorts of goals rather than identifying more with religious Americans who have traditionally not accepted these things.
Does this notion of progressivism as the, in its barest sense, as the state being the solution to problems and man's perfectibility through the machinations of political machinations of the state, does that infect the Republican Party to any degree as well?
I think so. And I think we see that more over time among Republicans. You know, I would argue very many Republican politicians today think the government ought to have a much bigger role than it really should. But I do think at least there are more Republican politicians, I'd say, than Democratic ones, who still seem to understand, or at least communicate in a way that makes it sound as if they understand what religion actually is and why it's valuable and why, you know, government only has power when it comes from God and when we recognize that that authority comes from somewhere outside of our government, from the people and from a higher power.
I guess it raises a larger question then. Is progressivism, as we've defined it here, is it incompatible with the basic tenets of the American experiment, which acknowledge at the very least that there is an authority and power higher than man?
Oh, I would certainly say so. I think that's very true. And I think a lot of the reasons why we see ourselves straying from our founding principles sort of come from the infiltration of progressivism into our government.
To what degree has progressivism become not just the philosophy of one or the other political parties, but also of most of media?
Oh, that's another big question. I mean, it's hard to categorize the media as a whole, but I do think in general, there's kind of this assumption among many sort of mainstream outlets that, you know, when government decreases or becomes smaller in size or manages fewer things, suddenly we're leaving people in the lurch, or it shows that, you know, politicians don't care about people if they're not taking care of them. And I think that assumption definitely kind of dictates the way a lot of coverage goes and the way we portray a lot of what goes on in our government.
Why is it that progressivism, even if not by that name, but certainly by that impetus and that idea, seems to be all the rage among the millennial generation, so many of that generation?
Well, I think I can speak to this a little better. Being a millennial myself, I feel somewhat qualified to talk about this, but I think most people are more libertarian than anything in my generation, kind of a you leave me alone, I'll leave you alone. But when it comes to the government, it's much more of a, you know, the government has a responsibility to people that no one else has. And I don't know if that goes along with sort of the rise in the nuns, as they say, the N-O-N-E-S, people who don't identify with any religion. And I think a lot of people in my generation, to the extent that they've fallen away from a view of God or perhaps don't see family as a strong force in their lives, family and church, they sort of look to the government as kind of a unifying force, and politics as something where they sort of identify with their politics rather than with their faith. So they see the government as needing to take care of everybody.
So how can we dialogue with millennials on the shortcomings of progressivism?
For me, at least in my work so far, I found myself to be most successful when I just point to the facts and say, look at this. In the war on poverty, for example, look at all these government programs. Look at all of the millions that have been poured into this problem by the government and how few results we see. Whereas when the government steps back, stops regulating so much, stops throwing money at the problem, we actually see results. And things like family and culture, actually, they have much better results at getting people out of poverty, getting people access to opportunity, much, much more than government programs do.
You quote from Daniel Williams, a New York Times piece titled "The Democrats, the Religion Problem," and he suggests that at the time, this was during the presidential race, that Senator Bernie Sanders might be showing the way forward for the Democratic Party and for progressives in terms of bridging the gap toward the religious. Tell us about that, and what do you think about that way forward?
You know, I think what he was getting at in his column was just the idea that Bernie Sanders kind of portrayed that he at least understood religion to an extent, or he respected different religious traditions, tried not to, I guess, scorn anyone in particular. And at the same time, he sort of, his progressive values supposedly appealed to more the liberal sort of Christian mindset that the government ought to be helping people out of poverty. And that's really our Christian responsibility, and it should be carried out not at the individual level, but through the government. And I think there might be something to that, in that there are surely a number of, not only a number, but very many Christians in the United States who vote Democratic, probably for something like those reasons. But I guess that's sort of what prompted me to write my column, just the idea that at its root, for people who understand progressivism for what it is, sort of replacing God or loyalty to religion with fealty to the government, people who see progressivism for that aren't going to support liberals no matter what.
Do you see a time, and for now, progressivism has its home, and I think you're quite right, largely in the Democratic Party, but do you foresee a time when that is no longer true for that great political party, that it rids itself largely of its progressivism and returns to perhaps even an explicit knowledge that there's something bigger than me out there, and there's certainly something bigger than government out there?
You know, I mean, I guess it's always possible. You never know in politics. Donald Trump is president, so it seems to me that anything could happen. But given the latest indications of what's been going on in the Democratic Party, it doesn't seem very plausible, at least in the near future, because you have people on the left getting angry with Bernie Sanders for supporting a candidate in Nebraska who long ago, ages ago, supported some slight restrictions on abortion, something like that. Or they select Tom Perez to run the Democratic National Committee rather than, you know, Middle America Mayor Pete Buttigieg, things like that. It shows to me that the left is still very intent upon going down a progressive path, you know, maybe to win the support of younger people, they think, or for some reason they think that's the key to winning, and I'm just not sure that's the case.
If you had a minute with Tom Perez, the DNC chair, or with Nancy Pelosi, who is the titular leader of the Democratic Party, and they were to, by some chance, ask you about this religious problem that progressives are having, what would you say to them with about a minute?
Oh my goodness. Where would I even begin? I guess what I would say is try to understand why people care about religion. It's not, if you're going into it thinking, how can I speak to religious people in a way to convince them that they should vote for me? You're asking the wrong question, right? If you have to be taught about religion by somebody and you're not really speaking about it with a personal understanding of faith, I don't think you're really going to be very successful in the long run.
Alexandra DeSantis is William F. Buckley Fellow in Political Journalism at the National Review Institute, author of a recent column titled "Why Progressivism and Religion Don't Go Together." You can read it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Alexandra, thank you.
Thank you.
Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week is next. We got our four soundbites ready to play for you. One from Molly Hemingway, one from Dr. Cal Beisner, one from Bradley Berzer, and one from Pastor Brian Wolfmiller. We'll play them and take your votes right after the break.
We would like to overlook the difficulty of daily repentance and death to our sins in the interest of progressing to a more advanced spirituality.
Rebecca Curtis from her new audiobook, Ladylike, Living Biblically.
Somehow, spiritual advancement always amounts to our getting to spend more time on the things we like and calling it stewardship or service.
You can purchase and download an audio version of Ladylike, Living Biblically at Amazon, Audible, and iTunes. Ladylike, Living Biblically by Rebecca Curtis and Rose Adel.
Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran Learning. issuesetc.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.
Others talk. We have something to say. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Hi, I'm Pastor Palmer from Catalina Lutheran Church in sunny Tucson, Arizona. We're a confessional, liturgical, hymn-singing, Bible-teaching, gospel-preaching congregation, and we would love to share God's good gifts of word and sacrament with you. Look us up online at catalinalutheran.org or give us a call at 520-825-9255. God be with you.
Our cities are some of the greatest mission fields on the planet, but the footprint of the church is shrinking. We dare not shrink from our cities. Christ is needed now in our urban areas. From chaos, turmoil, decay, death, and destruction, Jesus brings peace, hope, resurrection, eternal life, and rebuilding. And you can help by being a hero for the city. Find out how at lcms.org/citymission or on Facebook at LCMS City Mission. Every city needs a hero. Capes and helmets not required.